You interviewed Richard Nixon in 1964. Nixon was our 37th president from 69 to 74, and also the 36th vice president. He was the only president to resign the office and also the only person to be elected twice to both the presidency and the vice presidency. You interviewed him in 64, which was between his defeat of the presidency by John F. Kennedy and him running again. So tell us about that.
Well, that was then during the time of his wandering in the wilderness. He came to OSU, Oklahoma State University, for a political gathering, and then he met with two other reporters and me afterwards. He had a very long, informal visit. This is just a nice visit, more than an interview. But the point that I came away with was that this is a charming, nice guy. He says, you know, I'm out of it right now. I'm just out here campaigning for Barry Goldwater. But he stayed in there and talked to us for a long time, and he's just charming. He's just altogether a different person than you saw depicted with the heavy beard and that image. And then he got elected, and he got back into power, and then the old Nixon seemed to come out. He was one man when he was out there, and he's just being a good soldier. He didn't say so out loud, but it was clear he was telling us, I know it's not going anywhere, but I'm a good soldier, and I'm going to campaign for
Barry Goldwater.
I'm campaigning for him. Mm-hmm. If it have to come to Oklahoma State University, I will, you know. Mm-hmm. And then later, I had the same kind of an interview, also at Oklahoma State, under almost the same circumstances with Barry Goldwater, and I had the same impression. He just came through such a delightful man. He had lost this election, and he probably knew that he's never going to be president. So he says, well, nobody pays any attention to what Goldie says about anything anyway. Lines like that. It changed my whole opinion and my whole image of him.
Barry Goldwater was known as Mr. Conservative. I think they point to him to this very day that he would have been the start of the conservative movement. And those today in 2010, where it's much stronger than it ever was in his day, should point to Barry Goldwater in 1964, because he started running as a conservative in that platform.
He did have a tremendous impact in the long term, and that's correct. But my own view of him, and I'm not a Goldwater expert, is that I think he would not agree with a lot of things that are going on today, because he was a very consistent libertarian. He used the word conservative. He called himself that, and he was in many ways, but he was first of all a libertarian, and I don't think he would be very comfortable with some of these stands people take on things like abortion, for example. Maybe even, I'm not sure how he'd be, maybe not even some of this religion and government things. I'm not sure.
He'd be strong for gay rights, because before his death, he was very supportive of gay rights.
He's not a racist by any stretch. I'm convinced of that. But he voted against civil rights bills because it was his belief that the federal government shouldn't be interfering, you know, too much power for the federal government. If you take the race factor out of it, which is hard to do, I'm stretching it, but it's still kind of a libertarian position.
Mm-hmm. But you found him to be just a very engaging person.
He was.
And to suffer one of the biggest defeats in the history of the presidency, as a matter of fact.
Another visit, he came here to Oklahoma. I guess this was during the campaign. I was at a news conference, and he had already made some kind of a statement about selling the Tennessee Valley Authority. And I asked him again. I said, well, I think you've said that you're in favor of selling the Tennessee Valley Authority. Well, he gave the answer again, and it got a lot of publicity. Again, he didn't think the government had any reason to be building a big project like that.